will probably happen.
Welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show. I am Lee Cantor, and I am joined in the studio with Mr. Stone Payton. How you doing, Stone?
I am doing well, man. I've been looking forward to this show. We've been hopping this week, meeting with a lot of neat people. I enjoyed yesterday. She wasn't on the show yesterday, but that was a very enlightening, engaging conversation we had with Deborah Klein over at Business Wise.
Yes, she's a very smart lady.
She's Business Wise is what
there
she is.
There you go. Excellent segue.
So, but no, I love doing what we do because we have fun in the studio. We learn a lot. We're always talking to smart, passionate people. And then as a result, the overflow is anytime we get together for other meetings, we're talking to smart, passionate people. This just beats the heck out of working, man.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So who do we have today to start this adventure?
Well, we have a studio full. A little bit later in the program, we're going to hear from Marilyn Miller with Sherm. And we're going to hear from Lane Davlin, who is with Einstein HR. And I know this because I have an Einstein HR t-shirt at home. And so so whoever's doing your promo product stuff, you know, you continue to engage them. But first up on Atlanta Business Radio, it is my distinct pleasure to introduce Ms. Nina Salchuk with ATDC. And I'm going to tell our listeners what that stands for, but it's quiz time. Do you know what it stands for, Lee?
Of course not, Stone.
It stands for Advanced Technology Development Center. Welcome to the show, Nina.
Thanks, Stone. It's a pleasure to be on Atlanta Business Radio. Appreciate your time.
Well, we are delighted to have you. Give us, if you will, a little bit of an overview, thumbnail sketch, mission and purpose of ATDC. What are you guys out there doing for folks?
Well, I've been general manager at ATDC for about a year and a half, and having founded and ran startups, it's pretty exciting because I stepped up to lead an organization that has been around for over 30 years and recently was named by Forbes as one of the top 10 technology incubators in the world. So it's an exciting opportunity to support hundreds of startups, and we do that through incubation and acceleration services.
Now, is this affiliated with Georgia Tech, or is it just near Georgia Tech? What's the relationship?
That's a great question. We have a very strong affiliation with Georgia Tech, and we run through the university, and there's a lot of strong technologies that spin out of there. But we're actually state-funded and try to address the needs throughout the state, including all the other major research universities as well.
So what exactly is an incubator? How does that work?
It's a great question.
You hear so that's Lee? One each. That's we have one great question
one.
Each.
We keep score.
And so incubation. We actually talk to entrepreneurs when no one else is really interested in talking to them, which generally is really early. When they have no money, they just have a concept, and everyone's wondering what the heck they're doing.
So you just hand out napkins and you go, here. Fill out your business plan on this, and we'll give you money. Is that how it works?
It's been done. Not the money part, though. That was probably a decade or two ago when that happened. These days, it's a very different economy. But the technology companies are starting rapidly and thriving. There's several areas that Atlanta and Georgia are particularly strong in security, internet security, financial technology, logistics, and healthcare IT. And so there's several clusters, and yet there's a lot of startups in areas that are beyond that. And what we do is there's an open membership where if you're a technology startup in Georgia, you don't even have to be incorporated, but you have to have decided that this is important and this is what you're doing. You can go on the website, atdc.org, pay $50 a quarter, and you could probably eat that in free lunches at our Wednesday Lunch and Learns. So it's actually a good deal out there. But beyond that, we actually engage with entrepreneurs in residence that have started, run at the CEO level, raised significant money, and exited three of the four. And these are people that have real-world experience. So we bring everyone in to basically see people who've done it, what it takes to understand the other people starting companies and folks that have done it before. And we go by the three C's, which is coaching, connecting, and community. And this is really important to support an entrepreneurial ecosystem anywhere, and particularly in Georgia.
Now, when you started your firm, did you have access to that, or did you use the ATDC?
Well, that's a great question. One reason I'm there now is because I'm personally indebted. I arrived in Atlanta in 97 and didn't know anyone in Georgia. I had gone to business school, and my husband ended up with a large firm here. We had both met in business school, and so I said, sure, I'll live anywhere for a couple years, and fell in love with Georgia and Atlanta, and ended up trying to figure out what was going on in the biotech scene, and I was welcomed by ATDC. And actually worked with them, and through working with them for several months, ended up finding my scientific co-founder in Augusta, Georgia, at GHSU. And that led to a biotech company where I founded and ran it for 10 years. So it's very important to have a place where people with interesting backgrounds and passions around entrepreneurship can get connected in and start to realize their dreams.
Now, did you check out other places, or did you just kind of stumble into the doors of ATDC and then said, oh, this is good for me? And
they had the free food.
It was a Wednesday lunch.
It was a Wednesday.
She was hungry. It was Wednesday.
Yeah, it was the right day. The ATDC has been the longest lived and the largest organization. And so while it's not the only organization, and we work very closely with the Georgia Research Alliance and TAG and a lot of the startup organizations, it's just sort of the place to go first to get connected. Because of its affiliation with universities and its size and its longevity. So you sort of need a place like that when it comes to technology entrepreneurship.
So how are we doing with young people? I suspect most young people are very enamored with technology, but how interested are they in entrepreneurship in your experience? What's that trend looking like?
Well, interestingly, Georgia was recognized recently in a study that identified it as leading the nation in entrepreneurial activity, which is exciting. And
at all ages?
They didn't break it down by age. But the younger folks that are interested in entrepreneurial activity, I think a lot of the buzz recently and the understanding of the model working and Steve Jobs passing and Apple and technology coming through and a lot of the famous technology developments were from smaller companies. That's an easy sell these days. And a lot of folks are easily encouraged to engage with our startups or think about that. And there's a lot of groups on different campuses that provide an opportunity for undergrads as well as even high school students to get connected and learn a little bit more about what's going on.
Now, you mentioned earlier that the bar is kind of low in terms of getting involved with ATDC in terms of if I have $50 and an idea and
it's so like the radio business.
It's kind of similar.
The bar's going to win.
Now you're going to be joining us soon, Stan?
I think I
see that Kendall fire.
Exactly. So say Business Radio X, because, you know, obviously we're technology, right? Because we're using the internet radio, podcasting, that's technology, right?
That's a great question, right? So technology traditionally, particularly when you thought about it, ATDC, Advanced Technology Development Center.
Oh, we're not advanced. We got
it's the A
that killed us.
There is that modifier. But we've been flexible over the years because when you look at a lot of some of the more social media type plays and whatnot, so it used to be developing novel technologies, but we've also extended it to novel uses of existing technologies. But no, it doesn't include anyone who has a website.
Okay, so you're a little pickier than that.
Indeed. Yes.
So now, say hypothetically, we go in there and go on one Wednesday because of the food, and then we talk to you, we tell you our idea, and we explain our business model to you or to people in the ATDC. Now, how much help are we allowed to get at that point?
That's something that we think a lot about, how to structure that. So we do have a membership called ATDC Select, which you have to apply for, and it is a more custom approach to those companies. And those companies have certain pieces in place where we think that they are on track for a 3-year graduation, and graduation is $1 million in sustainable revenue, Series A funding, key strategic partnership, maybe a regulatory milestone for the life sciences. The open membership, which is the main membership group, $50 a quarter, essentially get all the same things that the ATDC Select do, but it's more on a group basis. So you have an initial meeting with an entrepreneur in residence, but you don't necessarily meet with them on a regular basis. But what we do have are these Wednesday educational programs,
right,
and you go through those on a group. But they're still very small groups. They're 8, 10, 12 people. We often have 2 to 5 coaches that are part of it, and I very much believe in a very efficient coaching approach to entrepreneurs, because I never had the patience to sit through any kind of classroom work when I was trying to build my company. So
speak to this, if you would, just a little bit, the relationship between ATDC, Venture Lab, E12. How does all that work?
Yeah, there's a lot of different groups, and there's no easy way to figure out the puzzle until you just sort of take one step forward and get involved. And ATDC, obviously, I'll suggest is a good place to navigate. And yet the Georgia community, specifically in Atlanta, is you're not very far from meeting the next person. So Venture Lab is also at Georgia Tech and the other research universities, and Georgia Research Alliance has state funding that supports those, but they have to use intellectual property from major research universities. So it's to support the universities and those spin-outs, which is a small percentage of our overall membership, but obviously a very exciting group.
So now, what's a day look like in your world?
Wow, no day is the same, including today, because here I am on a radio show, which is very cool. So that is one of the best parts. Right now, being a general manager of ATDC, I feel is particularly exciting, because we've opened up, we have over 500 members. So it's very different than running a smaller incubator, taking a bet on 20 to 30 companies and focusing on that. It's a much broader mission. And we're also hoping to, we have startup circles that we are trying to extend outside of Midtown. We have a presence in Savannah. And so we try and get out and about and have a very broad mission around technology entrepreneurship.
Now, you mentioned, like, I guess certain milestones, like $1 million or funding or something else you said. There was a third one. But if there's companies out there that if they make $800,000 a year, that's still a good living for a handful of people. And that's a win, too, right? Like, you're not, not everything has to be a home run. You're okay with, you know, stand-up doubles.
Well, and that's the difference between what we were doing for the first 29 years was highly screening a small number of companies and expecting them to scale into very large entities. We still do that. That's
right.
Particularly the ATDC Select level, but we are equally committed to companies that have technology and wish to scale it, but there's no specific metric around we're not interested unless you have X number of employees. We believe that the backbone of the technology entrepreneur sector here is equally built by some large scalable that because of things beyond anyone's control happen to scale and grow hugely and be successful, which is fabulous, but the odds are against that. And we're all about building any kind of sustainable businesses, a business that grows and employs, you know, 10 to 15 technologists for a, you know, 60, 75K salary is fabulous. And you get a bunch of those.
Right. And then if you have 500 people in the playground and, you know, 100 of them turn into that, that's counts too, huh?
Well, and
it's
Lee,
good for the economy.
That's a really good point, in that not only is it great to have larger numbers, but the facts are, and any VC in a more honest moment will tell you this, as well as an angel, no one knows early on who the winners are. You right. just don't. And you try and convince yourself you do as you try and get more and more clever at this. But you don't. And so you really don't. And so that's why our door is open to everyone. And we are continually humbled by as much as we know. We make mistakes, and our advice is good, but it's not perfect. And so we try and keep that perspective.
So what is your go-to piece of advice to young entrepreneurs when you're at the cocktail party or the networking event or the family reunion that you just almost always know you're going to try to underscore in some way?
Join ATDC.
Well, I think because of the value of ATDC, it would be hard not to spend $50 a quarter, at least for a couple quarters, just to get connected in. Whether it works for you or not, I can't predict. But the real focus is a lot of people have ideas or dreams, and to be very step back and be analytical about why it is you're doing this and what it is you want to achieve, and then ask some very tough questions of not just two potential customers, but 100. So go to 100 different people and say, in different ways, is this something that addresses a pain point that you will buy? And it's that tough analysis about your sort of dream product that it will be critical to do up front.
Yeah, I think that, as you mentioned earlier, like there was a period where you just had to have a clever idea and then maybe somebody will take a shot with you. But now people want to see a little bit more. You got to sell something, you know, that's going to help your cause a little more than having the most clever ideas. If you have a base of business, I'm sure that gets the attention of people, you know, angels and VCs.
And the angels and VCs are biased these days towards more of the capital light models, just because they seem to be working and give good returns. And so that makes sense. But they do want to see a little bit of revenue, someone paying for something.
Capital light. Would we describe ourselves as
capital
light?
Yes, we're capital light here.
I'm going to use that later today. What's the best way for our listeners to reach out, have a substantive conversation with you, learn more about ATDC, and get in on these Wednesday meals?
Yeah, so it's all about our website. So we don't have a lot of paper flying around. It's www.atdc.org. And that'll give you the scoop. And then if you can get on, there's a big join button. And if you're still not sure about joining, every month we have an information session, which is a great download about what we do, who we are, and a chance to meet other folks. So that's good to do no matter what.
Terrific. Well, thanks so much for coming to the studio and visiting with us. We've got to have you back sometime. I don't know, maybe bring
some of your people. Would you be up for that?
Tomorrow?
There you go. Well, every
sure
week
we'll
have a ATDC special.
Right. We can start a Thursday meal.
Awesome.
Hey, can you hang out with us for a little bit while we visit with our next guest?
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to hearing more about Marilyn and Lane, so I appreciate being part of it.
Yeah. Well, next up on Atlanta Business Radio is the Chief Operating Officer for SHRM, and we're going to find out what SHRM stands for. Miss Marilyn Miller, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here.
We are delighted to have you. Of course, we hear your name a lot because we have quite a few folks, candidly, that are involved in either training or human resources. And so SHRM, of course, has just a fabulous reputation in the market. But if you would, please do let us know what the letters stand for and how can SHRM help a business?
Well, thank you, and I'm so pleased to hear that. SHRM is the Society for the Human Resource Management, and we are the Atlanta chapter. We're affiliated with a national organization, but we are one of the largest chapters in the country, and we serve HR professionals at all levels and all size companies. So I'm pleased to know that some of our folks are on your show pretty frequently, and we have a vision for working for a better Atlanta. And we see that the human resource professional can help a business grow and thrive by being sure that they have the talent and the culture that they need to fit their vision and mission.
So you have secrets to make good culture, because a lot of people don't like their company's culture.
Well, we do, and we offer a wide variety of programming to HR folks to help them become better at business acumen and at change management and at learning what motivates their employees and implementing total rewards and benefits and performance management systems that will achieve their business results. So we do offer a wide variety of programming to folks to help them do all those things.
Now, you have a big powwow, I guess, every month or so, but you have some other kinds of more frequent get-togethers as well, don't you?
A lot of meetings in Sherm, right?
We offer over 100 different kinds of events a year.
Wow.
You know, there's no traffic in Atlanta, so that's
right,
not
exactly.
ever
so
a
that's
problem.
That's not an issue.
That's not a problem. So because of traffic, we offer 2 webinars a month that if you're a member of Sherm Atlanta, you can sit in your office and log on to a webinar over your lunch hour and get some great education, training, and CEU credits. We offer 8 different meeting locations around Atlanta, like Cobb, Gwinnett, Fulton, DeKalb, Rockdale, that smaller groups meet. And then every other month, we have a chapter meeting at Cobb Galleria or at Century Center Marriott.
Well, that's nice digs. We've been out to the gallery. Remember, we did a remote broadcast
there.
Out there.
Sure.
Yeah,
we did.
Those are nice digs. So what kind of challenges is the HR professional facing these days? What's keeping them up at night right now?
Well, I would say compliance. There is so much changing on the legislative agenda with health care and benefits and pensions and fiduciary responsibilities and change management and retaining their high potentials, retaining talent in general.
What does high potentials mean?
High potentials
that sounds like an inside term.
Your star performers.
Star performers.
At your companies, people that you have earmarked that, you know, this person's a real producing performer and we want to keep this person.
So companies do that? So like the executives all get in a room and go, oh, keep your eye on Bill. Right. You know, Bill,
Bill.
We don't want to lose Bill.
To the company across the street. Surely that's got to be a real concern, right?
Absolutely. And you may think with a high unemployment and all the focus on jobs that that's not happening, but it is. There's a huge skills gap mm-hmm. out there and there are many jobs that are hard to fill. And that is a tough thing. For example, HR professionals now are struggling to fill a lot of jobs in healthcare information systems, high-tech jobs, engineering jobs, medical jobs, paramedics, nurses. Those are very hard to fill right now.
Are there just the lack of humans that have those skills?
Yep.
So there's just not enough of them?
Yep.
So we have plenty of people that don't have those skills that are sitting around?
Yep.
But
one thing our chapter is doing is we are convening and connecting institutions like technical colleges with human resource professionals and with business leaders and, for example, the Metro Atlanta Chamber to have those conversations about what are the current skills gaps and what are the future predicted skills gaps. So what can colleges, universities, and technical schools be telling their students who are entering, you know, here's some ideas for careers you should be considering.
Oh, so now you're helping the universities kind of guide the students. So the student's going, well, I want to have a degree in something that's irrelevant really into the job market of today.
Well, it might be obsolete, even if it's relevant now. I mean, that's got to be a challenge, right?
It is. You know, the world changes so quickly. That staying on top of what your company is going to need in the next few years, you know, the HR professional is really involved and engaged in that. And so we as a chapter convene those players to have those conversations periodically.
Yeah, that's important. I would imagine that's an important component. That's very kind of far reaching, though. That's not, I guess a lot of companies are focused on the fire that's in front of them. But this is the fire that's kind of building and it'll be there in 5 years or even probably shorter period
yes,
of time.
Yes, and in fact, we also partner with organizations like the Department of Labor, and the commissioner, Mark Butler, is convening employer roundtables around the counties to talk to HR professionals at big employers to talk about those skills gaps and how can we put folks back to work. We also have a big new initiative on putting veterans back to work. Our returning vets, we feel strongly that we need to support them. And we need to find ways to engage with them and to help companies see how they can place them and make a good fit.
Now, is that something that ties in with, like, the GI Bill, where they can move, like, after they finish their military service, they can go into a college or university and then get the training for a job that really exists or will exist?
And that also ties back into what are those skills gaps and
right.
where are those jobs? And if someone is,
you know, technically oriented, there's lots of opportunity there. If someone is not technically oriented, there's lots of job opportunities for, you know,
but it's just aiming them in the right direction.
Yes.
That's the problem.
Yes.
A lot of these people are kind of untethered. They're just taking their best guess, and you guys are giving them the direction of, hey, if you aim over here, there's a good chance you're going to get a job when you come out at the end of this, as opposed to some of these kids that are graduating with, you know, six figures debt and no hope for a job.
Absolutely. And HR professionals play a key role in that identification of that.
You have mentioned a couple of times convening and connecting. In our last interview, Nina talked about connecting. I sense a real theme here, and there's obviously a tremendous amount of merit in investing time, energy, resources, maybe even capital, in getting the right people connected. This is a real thrust for you guys, isn't it?
Very much so. We view our chapter's vision as developing and creating strong HR professionals who are competent so that they can make their businesses better, so that we have a better Atlanta.
You also mentioned a couple of times change management. Speak to that a little bit, if you will, this whole idea of change management. Why the focus on that? Is it because change is just so, continues to be such a big part of the HR person's world?
Well, it is. And if you think about recruiting and hiring talent, you have to know where your company's going and the kind of organization your company wants to be so that you can identify and hire the right people that will fit that culture and fit that vision that you're striving for. So understanding the culture and understanding how to change the culture and put in place all the tools and assessments and performance measures that can make that really work at a company.
Well, I'll tell you, Lee was only half kidding. You know, in our little organization, we talk a lot about personnel. We talk about the kind of skills we're going to need. And I mean, we're already looking at, we have our own little change management issues. What kind of mistakes do you find companies that are kind of like Business Radio X?
Yeah, like internet radio companies, hypothetically.
Well, I mean, I am trying to get some free consulting, but I'm genuinely interested. I think it'd be value for the listeners. You know, that growing company, they're starting to make it. They're solvent, and now they really can have an impact. What kind of mistakes do they typically make, particularly on the HR front?
Well, I would say that they oftentimes the president or owner of a small business hangs on to the HR responsibilities too long. When they could outsource some things to organizations that specifically do HR duties, you know, I see the presidents of small or owners of small businesses doing payroll and doing benefits and talking to the insurance people. They can outsource that, and they can spend their time planning strategically and growing their company and their business and not doing the tactical things that have to be done. But there are part-time HR professionals who have expertise and competence in doing that, can keep you compliant. There are organizations and vendors who do that, and it is very affordable. And I think the president or the owner or sometimes the management doesn't delegate when they really could be spending their time more effectively doing other strategic things. Now, that being said, there's a component of HR professionals that are very strategic, and in a bigger organization, as that organization grows and become bigger, they need HR to be participating in the strategic planning and looking where the company's going and looking at their talent. And making those very vital decisions on benefits and costs and compliance to help that company grow.
So tell us a little bit about SHRM's focus on community, because you guys have a fantastic reputation for investing in the community, and we'd like to hear a little bit more about that.
Oh, well, thank you. We feel strongly that we should partner with wonderful organizations who complement what we do and who have an interest in what we do and who can contribute to our members. We have an ongoing long partnership with TAG, the Technology Association of Georgia. We overlap in membership with IT and HR, typically is very intertwined in a company, and especially women in IT. There's an organization that's part of TAG that's WIT, and we have overlapping vendors. We have a lot of overlapping members. So we partner with them. We partner with the Partnership Against Domestic Violence. And people might say, gosh,
why would an HR organization be so intertwined with PADV? Because a lot of times that comes to work, and violence can happen at work, and it is an HR professional's responsibility to keep the workplace safe. And so there are a lot of best practices that need to be talked about. So we share experiences, and we share best practices with both groups. We are partnering with the Southeastern Benefits Conference on the ever-changing legislative environment to do with 401ks and pension plans and fiduciary responsibilities.
There's a full-time job right there.
So we're doing a full-day workshop this summer in partnership with SEBC. We're very excited to launch that. So we partner with all sorts of organizations. Then also our members love to give back. And a huge part of HR is recruiting and hiring. So our members love to volunteer with organizations like Junior Achievement, the Mayor's Youth Program, 21st Century Leaders, Year Up. We have very active groups who do community service in those areas to teach high school and college students about resume writing and job interviews and career paths and potential careers, and they love doing that.
Now, what is SHRM looking for more of? Do you need more members that are the HR people that want to get involved there, or do you need more kind of member organizations of the firms? What's more on your target list?
Yes.
All of that?
all of the above. We are about 70% of our members are HR professionals, mm-hmm. really at all size companies and at all levels of HR, from the tactical entry level and the generalist through the manager and director level at a bigger right. company, all the way up to the senior executive level. Then we have company involvement that are vendors who have products or services that they market to HR, and HR is influential in purchasing a wide variety of products and services. And so we have a lot of involvement.
But do like them. Organizations like, does Delta join SHRM, or do the HR people who work for Delta join SHRM, or both?
We are an individual professional society, so it would be the HR professional.
So Delta wouldn't, but the Delta HR person may.
Exactly.
Right.
Yes.
And the most important question, your last name has one L in it. Did we still get it right? Is it still pronounced Miller, or is it Myler? Or
it's Miller.
It's Miller. Okay, so we got it right. We got it right. And so upcoming events, anything happening in the near term that we want to let our listeners know about?
Oh, my gosh, yes. March 13th and 14th is our annual conference. We'll have over 1,000 people at Cobb Galleria for 2 days and an exhibit hall with about 80 vendors.
Wow.
We're very excited about our annual event. We are also very excited to be the host chapter for the National SHRM Conference this year, June 24th through 26th at the Georgia World Congress Center.
That'll be a big party, huh?
20,000 people.
20,000
people.
Wow, that's a lot of HR happening.
They will be descending upon downtown Atlanta for about a week, and HR will be all over the place. So we're very excited to serve as the volunteer army of 1,000.
Wow.
Helping out with that conference.
So where can our listeners go to learn more about these conferences and genuinely explore the idea of getting involved with SHRM?
That would be wonderful. Our website is shrmatlanta.org, and Atlanta's all spelled out. So it's shrmatlanta.org, and pretty much everything is on our website, our calendar of events and community service and our upcoming conference. Would love to have you.
I feel so much more educated about HR now. Of course, I started at rock bottom. So. Do you feel more enlightened?
No, you did a great job.
Are you ready to give up payroll? Yeah.
Give up payroll? I'd happily give up payroll. Do I have to pay them? Does HR pay the people too?
Yeah.
How about hanging out with us for a little bit while we have our last guest this morning?
I'm looking forward to it. Thank you.
Terrific. And it's a nice segue, I think, right? Yeah. So batting cleanup this morning on Atlanta Business Radio is the grand poobah, the big guy over at Einstein
HR.
The brains at Einstein HR, Mr. Lane Davlin. Welcome to the show, man.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Well, this is not your first time in the studio.
Nope.
You came on and you had a lot of nice things to say about one of our previous guests. I got a T-shirt out of the deal.
Yes, you're the big winner.
Which I thought was the big winner on that. But today we can actually talk about your business, which is, at least to some degree, related to the conversation we just had.
Yes, very, very much so. I'm actually a member of SHRM. So
well, there you go.
I relate to a lot of the things that Mary Lynn has said. You know, we are in the HR outsourcing arena, so we do provide a lot of those services that the big businesses have. We provide them to the small companies.
And so what kinds of problems specifically are you solving for that small to medium size company, and what is the smart way for folks like us in that category to go about shopping for somebody like you?
Sure. Well, you know, there are several reasons why you would go to a group like Einstein HR. One, of course, is outsourcing the non-productive tasks. Payroll doesn't make anybody money except for us.
I don't know. Mary Lynn was very passionate about HR. I don't think she'd call it non-productive.
Well, no. But
tactical.
For a small business owner, and Mary Lynn was spot on, where the president, the senior execs, the sales execs are all participating in that day-to-day. Takes away from their data, you know, their initiatives that are going to actually make them money, that are going to grow sales. Compliance is a big thing that, you know, the small businesses, they weren't designed to know everything about HR laws or about tax and labor laws.
There's got to be a ton of landmines out there just waiting on us, Lee.
I mean,
it
sure.
has to be. We're probably tripping over ourselves every day.
Exactly. I don't even want to know. Is that probably a lot of your customers?
Is that part
customers?
Of your service? Like, don't tell us? Right. Just fix
just
it?
Just fix it.
For some clients, yes. The majority of the clients, we do have a proactive role in helping them stay in compliance. You know, from the startups to the ones that have been in business for a while and are starting to grow, the challenges change year to year, month to month. Employee to employee, actually. You know, we're always able to identify, fix, and prevent against issues that small businesses normally they created on their own. It's really nothing that an expert can't solve. but they're normally not the experts in the HR outsourcing field.
Now, what's the trigger that tells a small company, hey, you know what, it's time to outsource my HR?
Well, I mean, really anybody who is starting to add staff, anybody who wants to be 100% compliant with their forms, hiring procedures, anybody who wants to have the handbooks, policies, procedures, you know, written, put in place, monitored. Those are the type of businesses that we actually target. The ones that are trying to fly under the radar, don't want to pay their tax, we can't help.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
So you don't actually pay their tax. You take their money and pay their tax.
Yes, absolutely.
So there are going to be thousands of people down at the World Congress Center in your line of work, correct? Down in June. How do you differentiate yourself? I guess the overarching question.
It's the name, Einstein.
Well, that's cool.
That's right.
How do you go to market? Because yours strikes me as a very competitive arena. How do you do it?
Well, we are, but Einstein HR consolidates a lot of individual tasks that maybe the higher end SHRM members are not going to want to deal with. They're not going to want to deal with a 10 employee cement group. They're not going to want to deal with a 23 employee plumber day to day. They will on initiatives, on very, very goal-oriented things, but the daily, you know, why is this FICA guy deducting money out of my check? I saw this deduction. I didn't get my dental card. You know, the on-site employer doesn't want to deal with that type of thing and really doesn't have time to do that. So we handle that for them. We become the HR department for that business off-site.
So why are you a member of SHRM? What are you getting out of that?
Well, I get a lot out of it. You know, we learn about the new changes. We're always up to date on any of the new issues, and it's a great place to really find out from others who are in similar small businesses that relate to our clients, that we can learn some of the issues that they're dealing with and how they're resolving them and actually preventing against them.
In keeping with our theme of free consulting this morning for Business Radio X, something is beginning to emerge for us that I know we're going to have to address. We're beginning to take on more staff.
Right.
And I know at some point we're going to have our own version of performance appraisals because we've got to have metrics.
Sure.
What counsel, if any, do you have to offer to someone like us about how to go about conducting those and applying the right structure? Anything you can help us with that Lee doesn't have to write a check for yet?
Well, there are tons of sites out there. SHRM, of course, is the biggest one that really provides the most information on kind of themes and ideas. The delivery of those, that's what you need to help. That's really what an HR professional needs to help the smaller business owners with. Filling them out is easy. Delivering them and using them as a tool is not as easy.
So, if you were working with us, you would help us design it and coach us through how to conduct it and what to do with the results and that kind of thing.
Right, right. We would actually help you come up with the format that is best for your group. We would help you kind of map it out on how you're going to deliver them. We will even go over them prior to you delivering them, so that you don't come up with a harassment suit or some other little issue.
He was looking at you on that.
He listened into our phone call this morning. But I had the presence of mind. I caught myself in the phone call. But yeah, we gotta get our ducks in a row.
Would you help? We have salespeople. Would you help kind of design an incentive program? Is that part of your scope as
sure,
well?
Sure. Yeah. We would actually sit down with you as our client. We would actually find out what you're trying to achieve, what your budget is, and we would also want to find out how your employees respond and what they respond to. Everybody doesn't respond to money, believe it or not. Some respond to other things like praise.
Great job.
I really believe that. I think once you get to a certain point, I think they're looking for all kinds of different types of compensation. And what I worry about is today's incentive being regarded as tomorrow's right.
Right.
That scares me a little bit. And that's good. We could use some help on that, I think.
All right. Well, one of the things we actually do for all of our clients is we do give them an end of the year total of what those employees cost them. And that's including their gross payroll, their benefits on what the employer paid.
What about mental anguish? Or do you have a formula for that?
That is actually still an unknown. And it's a check here if you know type of box.
Oh, that's funny. So talk to us a little bit about the sweet spot, and maybe there's too much variability, if that's a word to it, but what's the sweet spot between working with someone like you, who, you have other clients too, or just biting the bullet and bringing someone on board full-time HR? Is it a volume figure? Is it a size?
It's actually both. One is, do you have a budget to hire the HR professional or HR staff you really need? Smaller groups are not going to allocate the dollars to do that on a full-time daily basis. Big companies have a whole group, a whole division that all they do is all the things I do. But smaller groups can't really afford it, nor do they need it every single day, all day long.
So what's your profile of a customer look like? Who's the person that hires you?
It's normally the business owners. The senior execs.
Any size? Is it under $5 million, under $10 million?
Well, we really look at employee counts and not the revenue or gross payroll because there are many, many large food service groups that have a very large gross payroll, low revenues, but still have 300 employees.
Right. So what's the number of employees where it makes sense to talk to you?
Well, anybody that's five employees where they're starting to really be in compliance, three or four or five, all the way up to normally groups above 300 or 400 tend to start to bring everything internal unless they have a lot of branch offices. We do deliver the payroll. We do deliver the benefits administration, all the unemployment. The workers' comp.
So what about a franchise that might have 10 outlets with five employees in each outlet?
Yeah, great groups. We deal with several different kinds now. We deal with the food service, cleaning services. You know, there's thousands of them out there, and the majority of the franchise owner owns 1 to 3 units,
right. And so then they just hire you, and it's your problem at that point, right?
Well, it's our problem.
I like it. Mm-hmm. How can our listeners get in touch with you and learn more?
You can go to our website, which is EinsteinHR.com, or you can always call us at the office, which is 770-962-1700.
Cool. Well, this wraps up another episode of Atlanta Business Radio. This is Lee Cantor for Stone Payton and the rest of our guests. We will see you all next week. Thank you.